to another episode of Mormon History Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Today I want to give you an example of something that me and Bill Real have been speaking about lately, and that's that black and white thinking. So I'm going to give you the black and white version from the faithful side as well as from the anti side. And then I want to give you the example from the gray area and something that I have come up with on my own. Or at least I haven't really seen it talked about, and so I'm assuming that it's something unique to me. And how if I would have stayed in that black and white mentality, I would have never had made this discovery and tied this stuff together in a way that is unique. Now, this may be new to some of you, and it may not be. And that is regarding the controversy of Lehi's dream as found in the Book of Mormon. All right, I'm going to start reading in 1 Nephi chapter 8, verse 10, which says, "And it came to pass that I beheld a tree whose fruit was desirable to make one happy. And it came to pass that I did go forth and partake of the fruit thereof. And I beheld that it was most sweet above all that I ever before tasted. Yea, and I beheld that the fruit thereof was white to exceed all the whiteness that I had ever seen. And as I partook of the fruit thereof, it filled my soul with exceedingly great joy. Wherefore, I began to be desirous that my family should partake of it also. For I knew that it was desirable above all other fruit. And as I cast my eyes round about, that perhaps I might discover my family also, I beheld a river of water, and it ran along, and it was near the tree of which I was partaking the fruit. And I looked to behold from whence it came, and I saw the head thereof a little way off. And at the head thereof I beheld your mother Sariah, and Sam, and Nephi, and they stood as if they knew not whither they should go. And it came to pass that I beckoned unto them, and I also did say unto them with a loud voice, that they should come unto me, and partake of the fruit which was desirable above all other fruit. And it came to pass that they did come unto me and partake of the fruit also. And it came to pass that I was desirous that Laman and Lemuel should come and partake of the fruit also. Wherefore, I cast mine eyes towards the head of the river, that perhaps I might see them. And it came to pass that I saw them, but they would not come unto me and partake of the fruit. And I beheld a rod of iron, and it extended along the bank of the river, and led to the tree by which I stood. And I also beheld a straight and narrow path, which came along by the rod of iron, even to the tree by which I stood. And it also led by the head of the fountain unto a large and spacious field, as if it had been a world. And I saw numberless concourses of people, many of whom were pressing forward, that they might obtain the path which led unto the tree by which I stood. And it came to pass that they did come forth and commence in the path which led to the tree. And it came to pass that there arose a midst of darkness, yea, even an exceedingly great midst of darkness, insomuch that they who had commenced in the path did lose their way, that they wandered off and were lost. And it came to pass that I beheld others pressing forward, and they came forth and caught hold of the end of the rod of iron. And they did press forward through the midst of darkness, clinging to the rod of iron, even until they did come forth and partake of the fruit of the tree. And after they had partaken of the fruit of the tree, they did cast their eyes about as if they were ashamed. And I also cast my eyes round about, and beheld, on the other side of the river of water, a great and spacious building, and it stood as it were in the air high above the earth. And it was filled with people, both old and young, both male and female, and their manner of dress was exceedingly fine. And they were in the attitude of mocking and pointing their fingers towards those who had come at and were partaking of the fruit. And after they had tasted of the fruit, they were ashamed, because of those that were scoffing at them. And they fell away into forbidden paths, and were lost." And I'll stop right there and just say that after that, he saw multitudes of people who either made it to the tree and partake of the fruit, or they fell and drowned into the depths of the water, or they made it to the great spacious building. Now later on in chapter 11, Nephi will see the same dream or vision, but the angel will kind of give him some interpretations of the vision. And so starting in verse 25 of chapter 11, it says, "And it came to pass that I beheld that the rod of iron which my father had seen was the word of God, which led to the fountain of living waters, or to the tree of life. which waters are a representation of the love of God. And I also beheld that the tree of life was a representation of the love of God. And then down in verse 36 it says, And it came to pass that I saw and bear record that the great and spacious building was the pride of the world, and it fell, and the fall thereof was exceedingly great. And the angel of the Lord spake unto me again, saying, Thus shall be the destruction of all nations, kindreds, tongues, and people that shall fight against the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Alright, so I know that there was a lot of reading kind of right there, but it's important because I want to show you what is currently in our scriptures and how we use it in the church. We basically say that this story is a representation of either going towards the gospel or away from the gospel, and that the iron rod is the word of God, and as long as you are holding on to the iron rod, you're going to be safe. It's when you let go of the iron rod or the word of God that you find yourself in the midst and you can get off the path. Now, for those of you who don't know what I am talking about with any kind of controversy, I know that this is confusing. So, let me tell you what the controversy is. The controversy is that inside of the book, The History of Joseph Smith by his mother Lucy Mack Smith, in chapter 13 of the book, Lucy Mack Smith talks about Joseph Smith Sr. having a very similar vision in 1811. So the other side of the black and white coin is that Joseph Smith Jr., while writing the Book of Mormon, put Joseph Smith Sr.'s dream into the book as Lehi's dream. Now, the apologetic response is that Lucy could have been recounting this at a later time and just saying what it says, and it's similar to the Book of Mormon. So I'm going to read this whole vision, so I hope that you don't mind, but I assume that most people who don't have this book aren't going to have it or know it. Now, this is Joseph Smith Sr. recounting what his vision was. I thought, said he, I was traveling in an open, desolate field which appeared to be very barren. As I was thus traveling, the thought suddenly came into my mind that I had better stop and reflect upon what I was doing before I went any farther. So I asked myself, what motive can I have in traveling here, and what place can this be? My guide, who was by my side as before, said, This is the desolate world, but travel on. The road was so broad and barren that I wondered why I should travel in it. For, said I to myself, broad is the road and wide is the gate that leads to death, and many there be that walk therein. But narrow is the way and straight is the gate that leads to everlasting life, and few there will be that go in thereat. Traveling a short distance further, I came to a narrow path. This path I entered, and when I had traveled a little way in it, I beheld a beautiful stream of water which ran from the east to the west. Of this stream I could see neither the source nor yet the mouth, but as far as my eyes could extend I could see a rope running along the bank of it, about as high as a man could reach, and beyond me was a low but very pleasant valley, in which stood a tree such as I had never seen before. It was exceedingly handsome, insomuch that I looked upon it with wonder and admiration. Its beautiful branches spread themselves somewhat like an umbrella, and it bore a kind of fruit in a shape much like a chestnut burr, and as white as snow, or, if possible, whiter. I gazed upon the same with considerable interest, and as I was doing so, the burrs or shells commenced opening and shedding their particles, or the fruit which they contained, which was of dazzling whiteness. I drew near and began to eat of it, and I found it delicious beyond description. As I was eating, I said in my heart, I cannot eat this alone, I must bring my wife and children, that they may partake with me. Accordingly, I went and brought my family, which consisted of a wife and 7 children, and we all commenced eating and praising God for this blessing. We were exceedingly happy, insomuch that our joy could not easily be expressed. While thus engaged, I beheld a spacious building standing opposite the valley which we were in, and appeared to reach to the very heavens. It was full of doors and windows, and they were all filled with people who were very finely dressed. When these people observed us in the low valley, under the tree, they pointed the fingers of scorn at us. and treated us with all manner of disrespect and contempt. But their contumely we utterly disregarded. I presently turned to my guide and inquired of him the meaning of the fruit that was so delicious. He told me it was the pure love of God, shed abroad in the hearts of all those who love him and keep his commandments. He then commanded me to go and bring the rest of my children. I told him that we were all there. No, he replied, look yonder, you have two more, and you must bring them also. Upon raising my eyes, I saw two small children standing some distance off. I immediately went to them and brought them to the tree, upon which they commenced eating with the rest, and we all rejoiced together. The more we ate, the more we seemed to desire, until we even got down upon our knees and scooped it up, eating it by double handfuls. After feasting in this manner a short time, I asked my guide what was the meaning of the spacious building which I saw. He replied, "It's Babylon. It is Babylon, and it must fall. The people in the doors and windows are the inhabitants thereof, who scorn and despise the saints of God because of their humility." I soon awoke, clapping my hands together for joy. All right, so that is the end of that chapter and the end of that vision that Joseph Smith Sr. had, as retold by Lucy Mack Smith. So I'm sure you can see why people would be concerned about that, and if Joseph Smith did write the Book of Mormon, he could have easily put that in as Lehi's dream, and therefore it is plagiarized and it is not true. And that is the black and white model that you see on both sides. You see one saying that this is a faithful story about the iron rod and the tree, and that the spacious building is the world and pride. And you see the other side saying it's a story that Joseph Smith heard his father tell and he just put it in the book, therefore it is false. But if you take the gray road and you open your mind and you're not so stuck on just looking at the similarities, you will see the difference. Now there's actually a couple differences. In Joseph Smith Sr.'s dream, there's a rope instead of a rod of iron, but that's not the difference that I'm referring to. The one I'm referring to and that I want to talk about is what the spacious building was called in Joseph Smith Sr.'s dream, and that is Babylon. And this is where the fun begins. When you've taken yourself out of that black and white mentality and you start going, what does this mean? And what does this difference mean? And how can that tie into other things? Babylon is mentioned numerous times throughout the scriptures, and in the end it is synonymous with sin. Babylon equals sin. So now if we go back to the first chapter of 1 Nephi, we recall that Lehi is telling Jerusalem that they need to repent or they will be destroyed. And if you read the Bible or the Book of Mormon or history, you will see that that did happen. Jerusalem was captured and destroyed by Babylon. And now that we know that Babylon also means sin, we can now represent two deaths in that one destruction. You have spiritual death by sin or Babylon. And you also have Jerusalem physically destroyed and killed by Babylon. And that's the same thing that you have in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. You have spiritual death from them being kicked out of the presence of the Father. And then you also have now the ability to die a physical death. And so it is because I didn't have the black and white mentality and that I was able to read with an open mind that I was able to make that connection and at least come up with a theory or a representation. And I'd rather do that all day long than to have that black and white mentality and that fear behind reading anything and just assuming that everything is just anti-Mormon. It's that black and white mentality that keeps people from reading the church essays on their own website. It's that black and white mentality that will keep you from learning about the history, about the past, about things that could affect not only your spouse, but also your children. So anyways, I just wanted to share this example with you guys just as a way where black and white can get in the way of thinking about and learning about something that's very interesting. So if there's one thing that I can give you as far as advice goes, stop reading and start studying. That's where you're going to find information, is by studying the scriptures, not just reading the scriptures. My experience is you read just to fulfill an assignment. You read just to read. You study to gain knowledge and to gain understanding and to have a deeper thought. Thank you for listening to this episode of Mormon History Podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you'll tune in next time, and until then, have a good one.